Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're starting a little late tonight due to some technical difficulties again, but we've got an awesome guest. I'm going to skip a lot of the announcements and just go straight to our guest, which is Brad Steiger. And Brad has, what, I think 162 plus, maybe one more now, titles to his name. And, you know, being a writer myself, written three books, when I look at 162, I'm just going, oh, my God, you know, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
But I'm a lot older than you, James.
Maybe not. You never know. I sound young, but I'm older than I look. But anyway, welcome to the show again.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you again. And again, we want to say on Sherry's behalf as well as mine that you're new DVD we thought was just tremendous. There's so much information you packed in that, plus the whole technical feel of it. I mean, it's really a good job.
It was just amazing how that came together. I'm still shocked myself at just the synchronicities and how the best of the best people in each field just jumped in and said, I want to do this.
So much information, but... But technically, you know, I'll be blunt. We get a lot of DVDs sent to us, you know, and God bless everyone. You know, everyone does the best job that he can, but he or she can. But you know, we really pleased with the professionalism of this DVD. We really thought you did a great job. Your whole group.
You know, the people that helped me do this DVD were just. John Savage, Michael Knight, and his son Chase, and just everybody involved. It's amazing how it just came together, and everybody involved were very enlightened people.
Well, you could tell.
Oh, they filled in the blanks, and whenever I would say something, they had the data right there, and they just did an incredible job of getting the message out, even better than I could have done myself.
Well, it was very good. We enjoyed it. I can see why you're getting standing ovations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had some amazing things happen during that film. I mean, I could go on and on, but I'd rather interview. But just during the filming process, we just had so much fun doing it. And there's so many paranormal things that happened around it, down to, you know, people with exotic cameras and batteries, you know, for forgetting to bring their chargers and getting all upset, and I just said, "Give me your battery," and I just held it and then gave it back to them.
Oh wow!
Fully charged, and they just dropped their jaw. And I said,
well,
"Look, it's easy. It's just we have a trillion volts inside of our system. Why not just put some in the battery?"
That got their attention.
Yeah. So anyway, just a lot of little things along the way that were real exciting. But you know, we're coming up close on Halloween, and. I know you're pretty adept at both sides, you know, the light and the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And
adept meaning I study the dark side.
Exactly. Don't practice it; you just know about it.
Yeah.
But you know, in a lot of ancient rituals, like even the voodoo cultures and things like that, you have to know the white magic and
absolutely.
The black magic. They teach you both of them.
That, absolutely. Some people, you know, have kind of got on my case with that. And I said, you know, that doctor, that surgeon who's operating on cancer, he doesn't like cancer. He's getting rid of it. And you have to. And there's another old saying that goes back to ancient times, and you were alluding to it. You have to know what you're up against. And that's what Shadow World is about. Because many, many people associate me and with my wife, Sherry, you know, our animal miracles and Christmas miracles and dog miracles and healing miracles. We have that whole miracle series. And I've done books like Revelation, the Divine Fire, inspirational books, which I'm proud of. But right now, James, we have so many young people who see a couple specials on the Discovery Channel. They read a couple books. They see a movie. And all of a sudden, they're ghost hunters. And they're going out to haunted houses and haunted places. And they're not prepared. This is serious business. This isn't fun and games when you start going into places that are truly haunted. Now, if it's a squirrel in the attic and the pipes banging, that's all they're going to do is scare themselves, you know, like telling ghost stories around the campfire. But if it's really a house with a malignant spirit, they can get over their heads so fast. And, of course, as you well know, the malignant entities, they just go right for the weakest part of the psyche. They know you instantly. They see you. They scan you. They'll know how to attack. And you have to be prepared. You have to have self-discipline. You have to have knowledge. You have to have awareness. You have to learn to develop discretion. And I'm afraid too many of these young ghost hunters are just not prepared for that.
You know, I've seen that quite often in the work I do, because I do a lot of spiritual transpersonal counseling.
I know you do.
And, you know, I see people with them stacked on them, and they're oversensitive, and they don't have that objective, subjective balance going, and they're just an open door for anything that comes along. And they go and learn from this guru and that guru, and they walk in there, and they give the guru all their power, and they forget about the God within.
Exactly, exactly. It's interesting you bring that up. I think you know every night Sherry and I read from the holy books of as many scriptures as we can. You know, the Hindu, the Muslim, the Christian, the Jewish, the Shinto. We have a total library, a very large library of scriptures. And we were talking about the guru concept. You know, that's so hard to understand for us Westerners. What's your take on it, with the guru?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always been taught. Luckily, I've had some wonderful teachers in my life. And, you know, they weren't there for their own self-aggrandizement or for the money or anything else. They were in pure service mode. And I was very lucky to get a very strong foundation in that. And all of them say, you know, guru stands for G-U-R-U, you know, to bend you back in to make your own personal God connection. They said, you know, we'll help you along the way and show you techniques and show you, might show you where you're blocked along the way, but the bottom line, it is our responsibility to make our own personal God connection.
Right.
And I see so many gurus out there that have these huge followings, and these people don't have any really self-esteem. They don't have any, you know, they haven't developed their own discernment level, and they just give all their power, all their wealth, everything away.
Yeah.
And so many people are prone to that because they don't want to take responsibility for their own love and joy and bliss and their own God connection.
Exactly. That's our conclusion. We've known many of those gurus with the large followings. We've got to know them personally, and I'm not making judgments because I'm not in that game. I'm not in that business of judging others. But we have been severely disappointed by taking the power of others, making others dependent upon them. And I don't think that's what a true guru does. As you say, it creates our own connection to the God Self within. And of course, there are many fine gurus. I'm not being critical, and I'm not laying blanket criticisms, but we know in this field, James, we've been in it long enough to see that some of these instant gurus who arise, you know, are sometimes take great advantage of their followers who have little self, those who have little self-esteem and have difficulty developing it.
Yeah, it seems like it's, I call it deadly charisma, you know. I've met quite a few. And I bet you, I'm sure that you've experienced the same thing. People like you and I are their greatest threat. I mean, we very much threaten their program because we're focused mainly on empowering the individual. And,
absolutely.
And they're focused on a different program.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, that digressed, and we were having quite a discussion last night, and Sherry said, "Well, why don't you ask James when you talked to him the other night?" And I said, "Well, I'll try to sneak it in quick."
Hell yeah! Well, it's As You Wish Talk Radio, so it's As You Wish. Wherever
okay.
you want to go with this, you know, it's up to you. One of the other questions I was wondering about, I don't know if you heard about this, it's all over the internet, but I guess there's 130-something, seven or two, I don't know how many, Muslim ministers that have reached out to Christian ministers
yes.
to, you know, drop the false belief in separation and,
mm-hmm.
and the nonsense that's going on that's
mm-hmm.
separating the two,
mm-hmm.
two beliefs. Are you aware of this?
Or? Yes, someone sent me a copy of the letter, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was very, very gratified to see that. We need, and of course, my response, I didn't mean to be flippant,
mm-hmm.
but I said, you know, we've need this attitude since the First Crusade, you know, in 1135.
Yeah.
We, you know, we're a little late here.
A little slow, you know, but we're getting there. yeah, it's interesting. I think what happens is that we get to this point where we have, you know, we can no longer go in the same direction, and there's no way we can keep doing this war game and you know, suppression through power and all these other games we're playing. And I think everybody realizes is that we're at that critical hour right now where we are going to have to choose peace and unite and just refuse to.
Well, more people are. More people. But I'm afraid, you know, that certain powers that be and, you know, are still stubbornly holding on to the old ways and the old men. I just, James, I was such an optimist when I was younger. You know, I really thought by the year 2000 that there would be a great renaissance, a great spiritual
uh-huh.
elevation. Now, someone asked me on a talk show the other night, you know, if I believed in the coming spiritual evolution and a leap of consciousness. And I said, I've devoted my entire life to that. I mean, you know, that's what my books are about, you know, self-empowerment, self-responsibility, and that great spiritual leap forward. But, you know, and I know you know this, my friend, the more those of us who are light workers, the more we shine our light, the more the powers of darkness try to snuff it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see happening now, is that we have more and more people becoming alert, becoming aware, but doggone it, we seem to have an equal. I mean, can you believe in the year 2007 we still have bigotry, we still have prejudice, we still have people hanging nooses on trees? Can you believe in 2007? I mean, this is such, you know, primitive thought and prejudice and, like you said, religious wars and hatred between religious groups. When are we going to drop the religious guys and emphasize our spirituality? When are we going to tear down these walls between us? I guess, you know, I'm enthusiastic, but, you know, I'm looking more and more. This is Schoolhouse Earth. And maybe we don't get any farther than this before we're blown away every time.
Yeah, we seem to do this reoccurring pattern, you know, where we just keep hitting the reset button. You know, either nature does it or we do it through wars.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully this time around we won't hit that button.
Hopefully, and I pray we won't.
Yeah.
But,
you know, one of the things I've been getting lately, this might give you a little hope, but, and to me, when I hear these messages, you know, I just go, oh, you know, we'll see, you know.
Right.
It's like,
right,
like you, I mean, I've been so optimistic on all this stuff.
Yeah.
And now when I hear them, I go, we'll see, you know.
We'll see.
But,
that's what I'm saying.
But, yeah,
I don't mean to be negative.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, when I just, you know, I'm not a cheerleader anymore. That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. You know, I don't jump up with my pom-pom and say, hooray. I say, we'll see. We'll see.
I think a lot of us have, we've tapped into these extremely advanced beings. And over again, I've seen they've just underestimated, the human ego and the dark side,
mm-hmm.
you know, in many cases. And to them, it's beyond their ability to even comprehend some of the things that we do and the choices we make. They,
right.
They just go, you know, surely anybody would figure this out and not keep doing the same thing. And I think they're blown away by it as well. And but lately I've been getting this very, very powerful message. And you know, we all know about the unified field. You know, how can
right.
you have racism in a unified field anyway? Everything's
right.
connected.
Right.
But they've been telling me, and this is really strange, and I just put this one on the shelf. I'll share it with you. But they were saying to me that the Earth, the original intent was of Earth was to be in Eden,
mm-hmm.
and for people to live in harmony with each other and the planet, and to continue
mm-hmm.
to evolve to their highest level of expression.
Right.
You know, in the physical, that was the original intent. And
mm-hmm.
then they told me this was hijacked by certain gray men or individuals that we're seeing are very prevalent today. They're we see them as the war industry and the oil industry and pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
and all these
mm-hmm.
guys. You know, they're all war profiteering, disease profiteering, whatever. But anyway, they're talking a lot about that. And what they've been saying now is that, and this is the really interesting part, they said the real God is coming. And when they said that to me, I go, okay, then my little discernment level popped up,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean by the real God? And they said, it's a frequency and a force. And I said, okay, this is interesting. And they said, actually, the real God for this universe or this area, you might say, is feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, this is interesting. And then
right.
they said, it's going to be moving through the unified field. And it's going to push everything up to the surface, and it's going to move very quickly. And they said that it's as close as this November, you're going to see everything just coming right to the surface and hitting the fan. And a huge shift. How we experience that, I don't know. But they've been talking a lot about this Pleiadian connection and this Pleiadian alignment coming up, and that these energies are going to make it so extremely difficult for the consciousness of tyranny to function anymore. And it's also going to remove their support system.
Would that be so? Will that? That's encouraging, and I appreciate your sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, you know, that we're those of us who are working in the light, that's what we've been striving for. That's what
yeah.
we hope for. I think, again, the idea of the balance here on Earth, you know, we're so out of balance. And this is
mm-hmm.
nothing new. This is not a revelation. This is nothing profound coming from my lips. I'm saying the very obvious is that we have given the Earth Mother so many whacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe the feminine, you know, it's very interesting when you read the ancient scriptures I was referring to earlier. And when you read, you know, the ancient Jewish texts, you see that, you know, wisdom, the feminine, came first. And you know, then cooperated with whatever your concept of a masculine entity is to do creation. I mean, it's the Ruah, it's the Sophia, you know, it's the wisdom. So I think very much whether the God of this universe is, you know, is feminine, but certainly the feminine aspect, I don't think there's any question that feminine creative aspect is becoming stronger and stronger, and thank God.
Yeah, and this Pleiadian connection is a matriarchal system. It's more of a feminine energy, and it's, you know, and I just fit it right into that divine feminine. You have all
mm-hmm.
kinds of different groups that are aligned with that divine feminine energy, and they have to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they call it Shekinah energies, or and there's a lot of these beings, like the Hathors, or some people call them the Hathors. I think the original term was Hathors.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all these different beings were aligned with the divine feminine. In ancient times, most of the connections were to the feminine god that birthed all people and all things, and,
right.
and everybody was family and everybody was connected.
Right, right.
You know,
well,
go back to
that's
that
the shift. That's the shift, you know, a shift that I've devoted my life to, and I know you have too. And then, well, it's not that I get discouraged, but sometimes, you know, you look around and you just say, when will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? You know, like the song from the 60s, where have all the flowers gone? You know, when will they ever learn?
Well, it's like this masculine god with a lightning bolt, you know, sitting up in the ethers, and,
mm-hmm.
and the go-between program just hasn't worked.
No.
And at what point do you go, you know what, this never did work, it's not going to work in the future, and we keep doing it over and over again, when are we going to try a different program? And then all the fear programming comes up that, oh, why would you even question?
Oh.
You know, how dare you even question this program?
You know? I know. You still, where we live, you have to still, I'm sorry, you still have to be very guarded in your speech about these concepts.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just lightly mentioned in conversation, you know, the feminine, the goddess concept, or I think I said father, mother, creator, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, wow, there happened to be a lady Presbyterian minister nearby. And it was as if, you know, Vesuvius went off, an eruption, you know, just overhearing me say that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, wow, you know, it just one step forward and two steps back. But
yeah,
you know,
I heard a wonderful song, and it was called Mother of God, and I thought about it, I go, well, if there is this little old man with a beard, he had to have a mother. You know, up there, where'd he come from? You know, who's his father and mother, you know? And it's kind of funny thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the idea of putting God into either sex, I mean, you know, it's just... but we as humans, we just have to have... I mean, that's what... In Shadow World, I have several different categories of entities, spirits, and so forth. And you know, James, there's part of me that just hates categories. You know, I just see the universal and the oneness and the wholeness, but then I realize there's something within the human brain. We have to categorize, I guess, for understanding, to communicate with our friends, brothers, and sisters. We have to give things a name. We have to categorize. There's something in the human mind. You know, if we go to the doctor and we have kind of a rumble in our stomach, we don't know. If he gives it a name, if he tells us what it is, if he says it's gallbladder or flu, even though that might be ghastly to consider the discomfort we're in, at least we say, ah, now it has a name. Mm-hmm. It has a name. And we see this whether we're talking of medicine people or whether we're talking about the contemporary medicine man and shaman. So that's why I have a number of categories of different entities in the book, and starting right off, you know, with good old spirits of the dead and moving up to phantoms and so forth, and dealing with the different aspects of what I think so often is really multidimensional intelligence, or intelligence from a different frequency or various frequencies. You know, the physicists, the orthodox physicists, the conventional physicists, as you know, are coming more and more to talk about parallel universes, multidimensions. The cover of New Scientist, either this week or the week before, was hypertime.
Mm-hmm.
Will hypertime be the unified field theory that everyone from Einstein and on has been seeking? It's really that nature of what is time and space, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the many worlds. I have no doubt whatsoever that there are many worlds and different timelines and all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, well, you know, the objects that you photograph, I mean, they're just there. They just, I mean, in my opinion, they're entering from another dimension, time and space, because so many of those objects, you don't see them coming. They're just there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. because this is a vortex here. The energy here is just intense, and so the veils between worlds are very thin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing here constantly, and not just me, thousands of people have come here and had their own experiences, and you know, they're seeing everything, all these mythological things we think are not real, like fairies and little gnomes and other little people and all kinds of things. They're actually getting photographs of these.
Right.
And as well as the orbs and the light spheres and the all that stuff, you know. They have actually in Palm Springs, they're having an orbs and beings of light conference next week.
I received notice of that.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. It's got Michal Ledwith and Hope and Randy Mead, which did a wonderful orb movie that's coming out. I think it's called The Veil is Lifting. I'm actually in that movie, too.
Mm.
But I've got three movies coming out, which is...
Really?
To me, it's still like a dream, you know, but there's another movie. I can't talk about it because I promised I wouldn't, the third movie, but it's going to hit all the theaters, and it's pretty much aligned with some of the top researchers and scientists and everybody. They're all talking about solutions.
Great.
You know, turning the planet around. So it's a very positive.
We can't have enough of that. We can't have too much.
Yeah, it identifies the problem, but it starts bringing forward solutions. And, it seems like the solution comes again and again and again. A lot of it boils down to the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Just not having the proper leadership or the leadership reflecting the true will of the people.
Well, that's what I was referring to before with the cycle. You know, it just seems like it's dismaying, you know. How many times on this planet have we cycled up to a particular point of technology?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we convinced ourselves that we really are the lords of the earth? How many times have we deceived ourselves and been destroyed and started all over? You know, it's building up, climbing up the ladder again.
You know, this concept of power, which we've never figured out, I noticed that, you know, whenever you give your power away and put it outside of yourself and create whatever, a religion or an institution or whatever you want to do it, there always seems to be those people that gravitate towards those positions, and they eventually use it, you know, against you or to enslave you or oppress you or whatever. And the more power you give these outside sources, the more controlling and dominating the more powerful the position, the more dominating and controlling the character jumps in to fill that position. And we just haven't figured that program out yet.
No. And again, sometimes I just settle back and say, it's Schoolhouse Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is an institution where we learn. We don't all learn at the same level. We're not all in the same grade at the same time. And maybe that's what Earth is. It's failed as an Eden. So maybe now it's strictly an institution. And I mean an educational institution.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think it might be a mental institution.
Yeah, maybe all the psycho entities come to Earth because, the Eden experiment crashed. And so they go, well, these guys don't really deserve Eden anyway, so we'll just toss them down on Earth.
Yeah. Let's go down and just mess with their heads some more.
Yeah. I think we've got a caller. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
Very much respect what you guys are saying, and I love that you're there and you're saying it. And I do agree that it's disappointing and sad, too, that we are not more broadly awake than what we are. But I would also like to comment that in the years that I've been here, there is such a vast increase in awareness, in open conversation, in materials, people, teachers, like you guys for one, available to us on a global plane now than what there was when I first got involved back in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
That's true.
We've come such a long way. Granted, it's not as far as we had hoped it would be, but it is such a vast difference in what it was. I just needed to interject that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure James does too. I guess I was just giving vent, because James is a good friend, and I know you people out there are good friends, too. I was just giving vent to some of the frustration I feel sometimes, you know.
Starting. Oh, I'm with you on that part, too.
Yeah, because, and I guess I just, you know, I've expected so much, and certainly it's been given. I mean, I was talking to, on a show, I was on a program not too long ago where someone who has a very popular television show right now was interviewing me, and I said, you know, when I started writing back in 1956, I mean, the idea of all these programs on, and of course, there wasn't cable then. We had three networks. And when I started out, only ABC would even let you talk about it. CBS and NBC enforced the broadcasting code, and they considered anything in this field was encouraging belief and destroying the psyche of the American Constitution. I mean, we just couldn't do it. So,
exactly.
Okay, thank you for calling that we have gained. We have acquired. We have progressed. I guess sometimes my humanness comes out and I just get frustrated. I want it faster.
Oh, I get frustrated with myself that I'm not further along when I know that I should be and could have been. But nevertheless, the discipline has to be there. But I just didn't want to acknowledge that we have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
Yes.
And you guys keep up the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is interesting that I mean, I totally acknowledge the strides. And when you talk to the people, most of the people I've talked to recently are getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're seeing it really clearly what's going on. And they do want to live in harmony with each other, and they do it with the planet, and they do want to see the planet restored, you know. But a lot of them just, you know, all it would take is the right leadership to step in there.
I guess that's what I'm frustrated, and I think you are too, James.
Yeah.
It's with the power structure.
Exactly.
I'm not frustrated, and I'm so glad this lady called in. I'm not frustrated with the people. I'm not frustrated with their efforts. I'm just frustrated that it seems we have a power structure now that is just determined to hold us down.
It's definitely, and on every level, you know.
Yes.
With, you know, I'm seeing this, and I don't want to be negative or focus on the dark side, but...
No.
You know, the bottom line, when you look at the food, you know, that we're eating today and the chemicals and how it's plastic, I mean, they're actually allowing plastic into hamburger now and saying it's okay. You know, they just took all the GMO food labeling off so they can do whatever they want,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know, all these scientists are coming out just screaming about this, saying, you know, this is really dangerous and it's affecting the bees, everything. But there does seem to be a very large contingent of groups out there that have just become money blind.
Yeah,
and
just holding us back holding us down for their own selfish interests.
Exactly. I think we have another caller. Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi, James.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to take a minute and kind of give a, I guess, the testimony of the progress that mankind's making. I'm calling from Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and it's nice to hear your voice. I've just recently come across your websites and the message that you're bringing to humanity, and I'm excited. But just to let you know that things are progressing is I believe I'm can witness to what's happening. I mean, I was raised in a strict Pentecostal home,
mm-hmm.
and you know what kind of beliefs they have, and
very very well.
And so you know what I've been through. But I'm 40 years old now, and over the last, I guess before, real seriously, even before 9/11, the tragedy in New York, I've been searching for God and searching my inner spirit, and I've evolved, you know, to realize that we're all human beings on this planet,
mm-hmm.
and that religions and man's doctrines are just kind of holding us down, and that I need to fall away from my childhood rearings in the Pentecostal scene and realize that, you know, we're all just human beings. We're all striving on this planet for the same things. And the division that religion brings needs to stop. And we all just need to love each other.
Well, amen.
And,
amen.
You know, I pray for a day when, you know, the old saying, when a war, the leaders call for war and nobody shows up, you know.
Right.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Right. What if they declared a war and no one came?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bless you on your quest, and thanks for the good interview.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it was great talking with you guys, and I hope maybe one day be able to visit your place, James.
Oh, by all means. We want people to come and experience this themselves, and that way it's not just somebody telling you what's going on. It's your own personal experience.
I feel led to bring this up real quick if you got a minute. I'm battling a DNA hereditary neuropathy, and I believe in, you know, inner healing and being able to activate the God that's in me to bring about healings. I was just wondering, James, if you could shed any light on the way I, you know, should go about seeking the avenues to activate the God within me to receive a healing with a DNA issue like this.
Well, I tell you what I know, and I'm not being a doctor, I'll make it very clear, I can't prescribe anything, but Bruce Lipton has some incredible work out there that is actually showing that DNA is not the brains of the cell. It's not fixed either. It's always changing. And so your spirit has the capability of rewriting that DNA and changing that DNA. And there's other incredible healing technologies out there as well. If you send me an email, just go to my website and send me an email, I'll send you to some of these places. But the main thing to realize is that there's nothing that your spirit can't change or undo. It's just a matter of us surrendering and getting out of the way. But we definitely have to give our body all the help it can get. So, you know, we need to drink a lot of fresh water and eat right and
get
think
exercise.
Right as well.
Yeah, well, my inner spirit, the God within me, has, you know, been changing the way I eat and the stuff I put into my body. That's been a change for a while now.
That's very important, you know. It's not simply a matter of, you know, willing the spirit to do these things. As James said, you know, you really have to have body, mind, spirit in harmony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people I know that have walked right out of their disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they did it was they, you know, you have a neural net in your brain that's supporting that disease. And so what you have to do is you have to create a whole new image in the brain, which where you are just totally healthy and vibrant. And
you know what? Through meditation, it's funny you bring that up. Through meditation, I feel led to picture myself, you know, physically whole.
That's a good technique.
Exactly.
And you know, that just has come to me.
That's an excellent technique.
And then walk with it. It's important not just to meditate, but walk with it. Get yourself a nice little area where you're not going to be disturbed. And as you're walking, say that over and over in your mind as you're walking, and all of a sudden you'll move into almost like a trance state, and it's going through your whole body. Your whole body is picking this message up. And then eventually, if you keep that up, eventually you'll walk right out of your disease. A lot of people have done it.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I have felt like at times that I'm going to go into a trance or pass out when I've meditated or when I've had deep thoughts of reality and a higher consciousness of God. I've felt, and I've been afraid to let go, you know, or I don't know what's happening, but I feel I get kind of dizzy, I get kind of like I'm going to pass out or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's techniques in my first book called Reunion with Source. There's some very powerful techniques that will clear your space, clear your field, and it'll ensure that you're in a very clear space where you're not going to be interfered with. And I always strongly suggest to people to you know, surround yourself with light and do clearings and clear out any unseen negative influences and then invite, you know, whatever your image of God is or being to come and assist you, and then surrender to it. But if you don't like what you're feeling, if it doesn't feel right, just keep doing clearings until it feels right, and then let go.
Okay. And the gentleman's name you mentioned was Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Lipton has some incredible. He's a medical researcher and a biophysicist, and
okay.
He shows that actually the cell has antenna on the cell wall that is actually picking up the fields around your body, and there's not enough genomes to actually run the body. Your body's actually run by an outer unseen force, and so the DNA is just the gonads. It's the replicating thing. But if you want to create changes in the DNA, you've got to go to those outer fields and make changes there. And he's doing amazing work in that process. And he's actually biologically proving that prayer works, and that by, you know, through consciousness and invoking consciousness and energy, the higher consciousness and energy, you can receive a miracle healing.
Great. Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Well, we'll all say a prayer for you.
I appreciate it. You know, and I'm a witness that things are improving. I mean, if I would have thought that, you know, 10 years ago I'd be talking to guys like you that are, you know, coming from the, not the norm, you know.
I guess we haven't been accused of being normal for a long time, have we?
I'm saying that's probably one of the worst insults somebody could tell me. You know, you're really normal. Wow.
Well, we understand what you're saying, and keep the path strong, and many blessings to you.
Thanks for the prayers.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
So, Brad, do you have any comments on that, or...?
Well, I think you summed it up very nicely, very well.
You know, we've been doing that here quite a bit, and there's energy shifts going on, and our bodies are talking, and being on a vortex, we're getting hammered even more.
Oh yeah,
and we have to be in that constant state of surrender.
No, when you're in vortex areas, everything are accelerated.
Oh yeah, and we have to constantly be in that state of releasing and releasing the past and observing it, just watching it come up and go through. But if we hook on that stuff, it'll take us out. And
oh,
it'll take anybody out.
Absolutely. That's one thing in Shadow World, dealing with the negative entities. I've included a number of techniques that Sherry and I have developed over the years, you know, of cleansing, of banishing, of purifying your home and your body. And
mm-hmm.
We have those. They're in the book, of course, and there are a number in the book, but we have them right on our website
mm-hmm.
that people can go and, you know, click on our www.bradandsherry.com, and that's Sherry with a Y, and spell out AND. And go to the S files, S for Steiger, and just keep scrolling down. We've got a lot of information on our website, a lot of articles, a lot of surveys, statistics, and we do have those techniques of freeing yourself from negativity, banishing negative entities, and that's one thing that's almost, I'm sorry to say, sometimes 70-80% of our email, James, is from people who feel they're under psychic attack, that they're being held down by entities. So we're happy to send out. We're not happy that they have these problems, but we're happy to send out. We're pleased to send out these techniques and exercises, and they really work. I mean, we've been using them for years,
mm-hmm.
and many, many people, even some professional ghost hunting groups have adopted these techniques when they feel they're up against evil and go into an evil place. So we're pleased that so many people are using them and getting benefit from them.
You know, I've always felt, and I've talked about this with you before, is people getting into these experiences. You know, they're going out looking for trouble and they're untrained. And they don't know how to heal unseen negative influences or shield or push these things out of their space. And you know, they're setting themselves up for...
Oh, yeah, and too many people don't realize that when you blunder in clumsily, these entities can follow you home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll follow you home, and like you said, they know every one of your weaknesses.
Exactly.
They can prey on any parts of your ego or any of your unhealed,
right.
You know, they'll use flattery, they'll use everything.
Everything.
To get you.
Everything.
And what I've seen a lot is that they'll give you a sense of power. It's like a power feeding. And you go, whoa, that feels good, I'm powerful. And then you start using it to be more powerful than others or overpower others. And
That's the oldest trick.
Yeah.
In their arsenal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and they fall for it. I mean, I know some young kids today that are falling for it. They go, yeah, I've got this power, and
right.
I can do this, and I can do that. And I go, where does it come from? And they go, I don't know. And I go, maybe you better find out.
Better find out.
Yeah, because...
Check the source.
Yeah. And they don't realize that, you know, the real power serves. You know, the real power is healing energy, and it's love energy, and it's always in service mode. It's never separating yourself or putting
exactly.
yourself above others. And
exactly.
Again, they need that foundation if they're going to play with these kind of energies.
Yes, they do. It's more than just seeing a documentary on television. It's more than reading a single book. It's more than seeing a movie and think you know how to record spirit voices. Think you know how to resist evil. I mean, the more confident, the more invulnerable someone feels,
yeah.
the more he or she is setting himself or herself up for a fall, setting themselves. Because again, you know, the more you do work in the light, the more the darkness tries to snuff you out. But the more you're clumsily blundering and trying to shine a light, and you're not prepared, and you haven't studied, and you haven't disciplined yourself, the more that light is not only going to be snuffed out, it's going to be taken out of your hands, and that power that you were building is going to be used against you.
Mm-hmm. And there is the dark side out there. I hate to burst people's bubble, you know.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that they've been telling me, which is really interesting, is they've been talking about the higher forces, you know, which are the love and the healing energies, mm-hmm. and how they completely supersede these lower beings that are really focused on, you know, power and
fear.
Yeah, fear and things of that nature. So, as long as we stay aligned with that, the healing energies and the love energies and the service energies, you know, we'll usually be okay, but we really need those tools under our belt.
Oh, absolutely. And here again, James, not to keep beating this gong, but you mentioned the power brokers here on Earth today, and in power today, they're using fear.
Oh,
fear down the line, you know, fear of so many things, fear of someone of another religion, fear of someone of another ethnic groups. I mean, I can't, you know, this is what gets me frustrated, is the same old tricks, the same old tools are still effective against the great masses of our population. I appreciate all the people who've said we're making progress. Well, I want to charge them to help us keep making progress, to go out and spread that light, shine that light.
Yeah, and just, you know, also too is to realize that a lot of that fear that they're pumping out there, they're actually creating, and they're generating events around
it
to keep the fear going, and we need to step out of that and just say, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture?
Fear is always self-regenerative. Fear always folds back on itself and mm-hmm. intensifies itself.
Oh, exactly. And you know what I see is just that frequency and that program is going. I mean, the Earth is done with it. The higher beings are done with it. All of them are just done with this program of tyranny and competition and destruction and all of these things that have been running here for so long. It's just old news, and it's time for a change,
It's time to take off the old clothes and put on the new robes.
Mm-hmm. And I think these higher beings, whatever you want to call them, are standing right there with that robe saying, put it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And as you said, whatever you want to call them, but whatever works for you,
mm-hmm.
it's just feeling their energy and knowing they're there. But
definitely.
The same time, you know, recognizing that the dark side is there.
Oh, and, definitely.
And we cannot, we can, there are certain universal laws. There aren't many universal laws in metaphysics. But one of them is you invite negativity into your life. I mean, it's just like, even, you know, Hollywood has the vampire. You have to invite him in. Well, there's truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
You invite negativity by, you know, excessive use of alcohol, drugs, exploitation of sexuality, greed, deceit, lying to people, using lack of compassion. All those things invite spirit parasites, invite the negative into your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does. It's all a matter of keeping that love frequency going through each chakra, you know.
That's right.
Without all the guilt and fear and really, you know, being conscious about how you're affecting others and the planet that you live on.
That's right. That's right.
That seems to be the real trick. Well, we're running up to the end of the hour. Is there anything you want to leave with our listeners on a final note?
Well, I think this is, you know, I've really enjoyed this, as always. And I hope we've... in our expressing our humanness with a bit of frustration, maybe we've provoked people to work harder and strive harder and help us shine that beacon of light and bring in the higher beings to work at our side and to become co-creators with the wonderfulness that we know that is our right. That's our cosmic inheritance. And we can be so much more than the negative powers are telling us that we can be.
Yeah, I think that, you know, bottom line is it's time for the return to Eden, you know, with harmony with each other and the planet, and let everything else just fall away, because it seems to be on its way out here pretty quickly.
Well,
hopefully.
Amen to that.
All right, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show again. We'll definitely have to do this again. It's always been wonderful. You're like talking with a brother here.
I think we have a lot of brothers and sisters who are listening in tonight, too.
Oh, we do. And thank you so much, and God bless, and have a great evening.
Yeah, God bless, and we'll talk soon.
I Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening, and watch out for those little dark guys out there this Halloween. Have a great evening. Good night.